Four or five make just as good a test as a dozen, the commandant declared.
Gentlemen, think, the Pulsinian pleaded. Please consider that the pineal is actually inside the brain. It is true that I have not been able to discover any brain injury so far, but the process has not yet been applied to a Tellurian brain, and I can offer no assurance whatever that some obscure injury will not result.
What of it? And the two old unattached lensmen resumed their battle, hammer and tongs. Neither would yield a millimeter. Operate on them both, then, since they're both above law or reason, Lacey finally ordered in exasperation. There ought to be a law to reduce gray lensmen to the ranks when they begin to suffer from ossification of the intellect. Starting with yourself, perhaps? The Admiral shot back, not at all abashed. Haynes relented enough to let von Hohendorf go first, and both were given the necessary injections. The Commandant was then strapped solidly into a chair. His head was immobilized with clamps. The Pulsinian swung his needle rays into place. Two of them, each held rigidly upon micrometered racks and each operated by two huge, double, rock-steady hands. The operator looked entirely aloof. Being eyeless and practically headless, it is impossible to tell from a Pulsinian's attitude or posture anything about the focal point of his attention. But the watchers knew that he was observing in microscopic detail the tiny gland within the old lensman's skull. Then Haynes. "Is this all there is to it, or do we come back for more?" he asked, when he was released from his shackles.
"That's all," Lacey answered. "One stimulation lasts for life, as far as we know. But if the treatment was successful, you'll come back about a day after tomorrow, I would think, to go to bed here. Your spare equipment won't fit, and your stumps may require surgical attention."
Sure enough, Haynes did come back to the hospital, but not to go to bed. He was too busy. Instead, he got a wheelchair, and in it he was taken back to his now boiling office. And in a few more days he called Lacey in high exasperation.
"Know what you've done?" he demanded. "Not satisfied with taking my perfectly good parts away from me, you took my teeth, too. They don't fit. I can't eat a thing, and I'm hungry as a wolf. I don't think I was ever so hungry in all my life. I can't live on soup, man. I've got work to do. What are you going to do about it?"
"Ho, ho, 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 ho," Lacey roared. "Served you right. Von Hohendorf is taking it easy here, sitting on top of the world. Easy now, sailor. Don't rupture your aorta. I'll send a nurse over with a soft-boiled egg and a spoon. Ha! Teething at your age. Ha, 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 ha!"